call back in.
Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love, family. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in to another live edition of Twin Flame Radio. We have another great show lined up for you tonight. Tonight we are going in on Spiritual Movie Breakdown. But before we get started, let me introduce myself. My name is Divine Queen, and I am here with my enlightened and great cook, loving husband.
Handsome.
Handsome.
Studious. Astute in everything.
Okay. And I'm here with my enlightened king. Chris, say what's up to the
family. What's good, family? What it do? I'm over here winning as usual, feeling like a god as usual, feeling like $1 million as usual. If you want to join the winning team, keep on listening.
Mm-hmm. Eh? Said great cook, because you just made us a delicious meal tonight. Simple, but delicious.
Want me to talk about it?
Go ahead and tell the family what you made.
I made some, what's those, colored potatoes?
Really?
Not the Idaho. What's it called?
They're just red potatoes.
My fault. Yeah.
Colored potatoes.
I made some colors. Yeah, I made some
red potatoes
with onions. And I also made some Swiss chard.
Chard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Swiss chard. Some more onions, sauteed green peppers, mushrooms, and they were delicious.
Yeah.
They were just simply delicious. We're done with food, with meat.
We're done with meat.
Yeah, we're eating. We're just done with meat. We had some chicken from this place last night that was so bad that we said, you know what? F meat. And F stands for forget.
Yeah.
F meat.
Yeah, we're taking a break from meat. We've done it before.
We've done it before. Yeah. We've done it for a while before.
Yeah. I did it for a really long time.
Yeah,
and
you did.
I came back and, you know, just felt better without it. So
yeah, we're going back
without it.
Yeah, we're going back.
But it's all good. Different strokes for different folks. That's just what we do.
That's it. You want to win, do what we do. Donate. I want to say a shout out to our mamas.
Yeah.
Shout out to Emma Huffman and shout out to Carolyn Ray, our mamas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Shout out. I'm afraid they want you to use her full name.
Man, they getting it. They winning. They getting it. They both embracing their spiritual practices and just they transformed.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's true.
Winning out here. Winning.
Indeed.
Whole family winning.
That's why we winning. We come from winning parents.
We come from some good genes.
That's right.
We ain't talking about no Jordache.
Jordache? Man, yeah. You sound old.
I know, right?
Oh.
I'm seasoned.
Jordache. Did you ever wear Jordache?
Man, my mama tried to get me some Jordache. I said,
I
can't Jordache wear
the... was only for women.
Jordache, well, where I'm from, you wear what fit. I think I may have wore a pair of Jordache once, and I was scarred. Like, I can't wear these anymore. I can't
wear the jeans with the horses on my butt, mama. They talking about me, mama. They talking about me.
Yeah, stallion booty.
I wore long shirts, so I think I was running fast or something. Someone seen a stallion on the bottom of my buttock and said, hey, those are for women. And I said, hey, don't tell nobody.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I was scarred a lot as a child, but it built character.
Yeah.
It built character.
That's true.
Yeah. My character's strong. I got Hulk character. I got Hulk character.
Ah. You got crazy character. Yeah. That's what you got.
That's real.
Well, fam, yes, we are going in on a great... We like to do this every month. We missed it last month because we had some things going on, holidays. I think we went out of town. Oh. It was just a lot of, that was going on. But every month we like to do a spiritual movie breakdown show. Mm-hmm. And basically what we do is break down different types of genres of movies. And we give our, you know, point of view on it, how, you know, from a spiritual perspective.
Mm-hmm. And enlightened.
An enlightened.
Spiritual
perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So today we have some great movies lined up for you. We're going to go in on 4 movies.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the show, we will share our Twin Flame movie pick of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a movie that we recommend for you guys to watch. And, you know, watch it, let us know what you think, and then hit us back up and, you know, let us know if you like it or not. We know you're going to like it.
Yeah, we like it. You're going to love it.
All right.
We like to pick out movies that will expand your consciousness,
mm-hmm.
not just something that's just going to titillate you. We want to expand your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
After you're done with the movie, I want you to sit back, relax, and think about, what is it that I just feasted my eyes on? You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Yeah.
You know, Chris and I, we love to watch movies, and we probably can't get through a whole movie because we are always seeing something that is enlightening, spiritual, or conscious, you know, awareness, something like that that's within the movie. And we end up pausing the movie a lot, giving each other a look,
mm-hmm.
and then going, ooh.
It's like a dark Santa laugh.
Followed up with a, did you just see
that?
Octaves increase.
Yeah.
Did you just see what
that? Mine gets even higher.
Right. My eyes get all beady and squinty.
Can't even see you.
I can see.
You can't see me.
But it does take us about 3.5 hours to get through an hour movie.
Yeah.
You know, because we just be putting on pause. And
then we want to spew out what we think.
Yeah.
You know, the director didn't know
right.
that. I wonder if the director knew when he was doing this
right.
that he was showing it from this kind of angle. And,
right.
You know, so yeah.
When you find the mistakes in movies, wait a minute. His tie, first it was a Windsor, now it's a double Windsor knot. Something's not right. So you know, when you expand your consciousness and you grow spiritually, you look at things from a higher perspective at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a different overview of things that you see. You know.
Facts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and get started, Ian, on these movies. You want to start with that one, or you want to?
Let's go with that one. Let's go with this one.
Okay, let's do that one.
Yeah.
Why are you touching stuff?
I like to touch stuff. I don't know how to get off of that, though.
So why don't you tell the family about the movie Upgrade? This was a movie that you found and
yeah.
you recommended.
Yeah, Upgrade was a movie about a guy, him and his wife. They had money, and he was like this CGI type person. He worked in IT, and he was very advanced. And this was in the future, so they had automated cars, things like that. And one night, him and his wife was out on the town celebrating about this new adventure that they were going through. And something bad happened to them, and he ended up being paralyzed from the neck down, couldn't move. And one of his cohorts in crime fighting. Well, not really cohorts in crime fighting, but someone that he worked for was a very smart young man, and he had been in this thing called, I don't want to spoil the movie, but let's.
Well,
just,
we have a disclaimer on there that spoiler alert, but you know you don't have to give it out.
Okay,
but go ahead.
Well, he created this thing called STEM. And STEM was a highly advanced nanobite that once it's inserted in your spinal cord, it can manipulate your cells and make them work. So he couldn't move, but whenever STEM was activated, he could run fast as a car, strong, have martial arts like Neo in the Matrix. He can do anything that that STEM can conceive him doing.
And it turned out that it made him an excellent fighter as well.
Yeah, he was like Bruce Lee on crack
mm-hmm.
because he was able to anticipate what his opponent would do
mm-hmm.
because STEM was a highly advanced organism.
Mm.
So he can anticipate, okay, he's tired. He can only do these 90 series of moves, but these two moves that I will do will beat him every time. And he was just that good. But the movie, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, from what I saw of the movie, I thought it was really interesting because this nanobite had its own consciousness.
At first, he had like a base consciousness because he hadn't experienced the world yet.
Mm-hmm.
But once he got a taste of experiencing the world through him, he started to crave more of an experience.
Mm.
So it's kind of what I was thinking about was attaching spirits.
Mm.
You know, sometimes when you go to bars, cemeteries, and if you're drunk all the time,
mm-hmm.
even hospitals, drugs, you open the gate for entities to take advantage of you, and they attach themselves to you. And you'll do something, and you'll be like, why am I doing this? I don't know why I'm doing this. But if you're weak or if you're inebriated, these spirits can jump into you and make you do things that they can coerce you to do things that your conscious mind normally wouldn't do. And that's what STEM was doing, but it was like on crack. He was really just taking over the dude.
Mm.
Yeah, so I implore you all to go out and get your Fire Stick and watch Upgrade.
And pretty soon it was like this nanobite wanted to take over, right?
He pretty much did.
He didn't want to be like a partner within, you know, his system. He wanted to be the system.
He wanted to be the system. I won't tell you how it went down because I don't want to spoil everything.
Yeah.
But he wanted to be the God within the flesh. He wanted to experience life as a human with, like, taking over a human host.
Mm.
So it was like you were in your inside your own consciousness riding in a car without a steering wheel and it was driving you wherever you wanted to go.
So he was paralyzed still.
He was paralyzed still. He wasn't in control.
Because he wasn't in control of what this thing was doing.
Exactly. And the thing was really smart.
Mm.
It was smarter than you think it would be because towards the end you find out that the consciousness that was within him was another outside consciousness first. So STEM was something else.
Mm.
And then he created himself to get inside of a body to experience physical reality.
Oh, man, that is deep.
Yeah, it was real deep. It was real deep.
I like when movies have, like, that double twist at the end where it's that was good, and now it turned out it was this.
Yeah, it was definitely
and it's like, dang, first I was already tripping off of this part. Now you're telling me it's something else to it?
Mm-hmm.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
You know, you brought up an interesting statement about attaching spirits.
Mm.
And I remember hearing our spiritual master, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, tell a story of a study that he was aware of where there was a person, and I may not have all the facts correct, but there was a person who someone had passed away that was near to them. I think it was a father or someone, mm-hmm. I can't remember, but someone had passed away, and during the funeral, their spirit attached to the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter just like out of the blue started doing these things that she normally wouldn't do. She was smoking cigarettes, she was drinking, mm-hmm. she was having sex with random people, and she mm-hmm. was just, and she couldn't understand like why she was doing these things, but she also knew that she had to fulfill this urge.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that, you know, the reason why she was doing these things is because these are the things that her father had used to do when he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to keep feeling that energy and fulfilling that desire. And so since he was just a spirit, he was doing it through her body.
A lot of people don't understand or realize that consciousness doesn't stop when you transcend or die. Consciousness is everything, and everything is consciousness. So when you transition to the next level of existence, all your urges and things, they don't go anywhere. All that energy that you put into the things that you love stay with you. So when people are afraid, or they believe some type of religious motif that someone's going to come and get them, they become a wandering spirit. And when you don't realize that you have the choice to ascend to the higher realms of reality versus waiting on someone to save you, it will cause your spirit to be a roaming soul. And you'll just be roaming this earth trying to get experiences indirectly through other people. And you'll hang around places and things that you normally would hang around when you were living. If you was a drunk, you hang around bars. That's why they call bars spirits. Because when you go to bars and you get inebriated, you're no longer using your conscious mind. Everything tends to go unconscious. And that's when you can get attacked. Because when your unconscious mind is activated, that's when the spirits see you most. That's why when you go to dreams, a lot of your ancestors and things like that talk to you and come see you in your dream state. You know? Like when you're drunk, when you're trying to walk, you're consciously trying to walk straight, but you're in auto mode. And you're stumbling around like a baby almost. And that's when you can be have attaching spirits. And that's why, you know, people in our spiritual team, we don't get drunk. You know what I mean? We don't even drink. You know, because we're aware of these entities and things out there like that.
And once they attach to you, it's hard to remove them.
Yeah, you'll need a spiritual
cleansing.
It's like
you become their host.
You become their host, and you have to feed their insatiable thirst for whatever it is they love. Whatever it is they love. It's real, fam.
Facts. We're going to have to do a show on attaching spirits.
Next week, let's do it.
Okay.
Winning.
So, what do you want to talk about next? Let's talk about...
Choose.
Well, since we were talking about consciousness, let's talk about Tao. Tao is a really good movie. These are... I purposely chose movies that people probably haven't heard of or just, you know, didn't really think of to watch. And Tao was really good for me because...
T-A-U.
T-A-U. It was... Basically, it starts out with this woman who is abducted, and
she's a thief.
She's a thief. She's like, you know, no, someone that no one would miss.
Right.
And she wakes up in a room with other people who are similar to her, people that no one would miss. And these things start happening with, I guess it was like little nanos and robots and things like that. And basically, they were studying them. And, you know, eventually, I don't want to give everything away, but eventually it was just this girl, and she ended up getting freedom within this home with this man. And he was a very intelligent man. He was some sort of like a scientist or whatnot. And he was doing a study for the company that he worked for, trying to study the consciousness of human beings. And with that, he had developed consciousness through different devices in his home, Tao being the home. And Tao was like the main, well, Tao was pretty much the only consciousness there because Tao ran everything.
Right. Tao was like the central nervous system of the home. Everything with electricity was ran by Tao. And he could extend himself out into other smaller organisms like drones and things like that. And
it was also like this big robot creature thing in there. It kind of reminded me of that big robot from Time Cop. I mean, not RoboCop.
Yeah, it was like a RoboCop thing.
Little smaller level.
Yeah, that robot was an unconscious being because it couldn't think. It only took command. It didn't have a soul. It didn't have anything. And the deep part about Tao is this. As I was watching the movie, I started to ponder on when does consciousness really start? And what is consciousness towards a soul? When do the two marry each other? Do you have to be born out of a uterus to have consciousness? I don't think so.
No?
I think consciousness is something, the ability to make a choice. Whenever you have the ability to make a choice, I would say you are conscious, whether you have a soul or not. Because I think a soul is something that's from a celestial divine nature.
Mm-hmm.
But when you create an organism or an intelligence like Tao was, and he had the ability to think and process things, and then he started to think, like, wait a minute, well, what about this? Because Tao only existed within the home. He didn't know about trees.
Yeah, he didn't know anything
he didn't know
outside
about the
of
sun.
The home.
He didn't know about water. He didn't know about any of this stuff. But when this prisoner, this lady, started to open up his consciousness and expand his mind on these things, he started to think, well, what is this? What is this? And he started to realize, wait a minute, my master, my creator, my so-called God hasn't been telling me about all this.
Mm-hmm.
But here you are, someone I'm supposed to keep in this cell trapped. You're expanding my consciousness and letting me know about joy and music and love and art and all this stuff. Why is it that you're showing me all this and my master isn't? So he started to develop a relationship with this girl, and he was able to experience love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, there came a point in time where the owner of Tao got mad at the girl, and he wanted Tao to punish her. And Tao started to say, no, I don't want to. And he was like, what do you mean you don't want to? Do as I say. Please, he started to beg his master. So his master ended up, well, I don't want to tell too much of the story. I want you guys to see Tao.
You know, you said something interesting earlier. You said that you believe that consciousness starts when you start, what did you say, asking questions?
Consciousness starts when you have the ability to make a choice.
Make a choice. So I believe, I agree with that too, but I also believe that consciousness starts when you become aware of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, we were talking about that robot thing. That robot thing that was in the house wasn't aware of itself. It just knew to take orders. But Tao was aware of his position in that home. He understood that he was the one that ran the home, you know, through what his master said. But it was so artfully done to the point where he knew, you know, you're getting upset, you need to go take a bath, or I made your favorite meal for you, or I'm going to put this music on to relax you, you know. And Tao was just like really, you know, he was thinking outside of the box versus just being told. He would prepare things for his master.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he did. He never questioned anything outside of the home because, you know, the home was all that he knew, and the master, is the creator of the home, never taught him anything. He assumed that everything that he needed to know, he had already known. And when this girl started, like, you know, not purposely, but just mentioning things like, you know, I want to go outside, and the house Tao was like, well, what's outside? And she was like, what do you mean what's outside? Trees, air, parks, children, people. And he was like, what's a tree? What's a park? You know, and then she was like, what? And she got the house interested into learning and wanting to know more about, you know, the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where he felt hungry to know more. And he did. He developed not a feeling of like, you know, I'm in love with the girl, but an admiration of her.
Right.
Because he saw her as being a good person. He started recognizing that the master was crazy.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing that I equated the movie to reality, because a lot of people fight for their level of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And when you give someone something and say, hey, this book here is powerful, all you need to know is within this book, you're going to covet that book, and you're going to believe everything in that book is being truth. Because everyone around you that you've ever told, ever known, great-grandma said that the truth was in this book, and you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to come a time where you're going to start to ponder once you expand your consciousness and say, okay, everything that's in this book is true, but what about everything that I see?
Mm-hmm.
Forget about your definition of what truth is. What about my truth?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you start to grow spiritually, when you realize things aren't as finite as you've been told they are.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no end. There is no beginning. There just is. And if there is, What next? What else can I do? You know, we as humans, like Tao, aren't taught to really look within for the answers.
Mm-mm.
We're conditioned and brainwashed into believing that all the answers you have to look outside of yourself to get. But when you realize that all you need to do is go within to find your answers and get your own definition of what reality is, that's when you begin to grow. And that's how Tao started to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because he went outside of his box of what his master was telling him. And there was another variable, as in that girl, that was bringing him new information to expand his consciousness. And he started to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
He developed love. He understood pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because his master was able to hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
So
Tao was even willing to take pain to protect the girl.
He was. Because that was his level of love.
Mm-hmm.
When you develop love, you develop a sense of selflessness where you put other people before yourself. And that's an evolved being. You know, a lot of people come here to get reincarnated to experience a selfish life. They want to do everything they do, everything they want to do, and anyone that's in their way, they don't care about. But an advanced soul understands that when I take care of other people, I'm showing divine celestial beings that I love all sentient beings like I love myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that sentient being is nothing more than another aspect of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am that. That is me. We're all one. And everything that you can conceive and everything that you see in your reality is all you.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Tao was a deep movie. It was so deep. It was so good. It was much better than I thought it was going to be.
A lot better.
Because I had never heard of it. And usually, you know, when you come across those movies that don't have the big movie titles and the known actors and everything in it, you know, you get kind of weary, like, I don't know how this is going to be. Is this going to be one of them low-budget movies? But I find that those movies are usually the best, the ones that people don't really know about.
You know, all the blockbuster movies, they call them blockbusters because they have so much money funneled into them
mm-hmm.
that they forget about the content, and they're all about the shock value.
Mm-hmm.
And when you focus on shock value, that's good for like kids and babies or low vibratory minded people.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really want some good content, read up on the movie first. Don't just I go on my Fire Stick and I look for things that I've never heard of. I read about it. I say, wow, this has a spiritual nature to it. Let me check it out. 9 times out of 10, they'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like for other people to tell me about movies.
Oh, I hate that.
You know, I like to get my own conclusion of what's going on.
Yeah.
Because.
So we would never listen to our own show when it comes to spiritual movie breakdown because we don't like to know about movies. But some people do. Some people like to know, you know, what's this movie about? I don't want to waste my time. Tell me, is it good? Is it worth watching?
Well, with our show, what we're doing, we're expanding the behind the scenes. We're looking to unveiling things within the movies that you normally wouldn't see because mm-hmm. it's probably less than your level of awareness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you come into a movie with a different sense of awareness, you see the movie differently.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing here. We're decoding the movie for you to give you a different, I want you to go out and watch the movie and then watch it again after watching our show or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Because we do that. We go back and watch movies that we've seen years ago mm-hmm. before we were on this level, on this journey. And we go back and watch it, and we're like, wow.
It's a whole other movie.
I didn't even see that, you know. Indiana Jones. It was like, they got Callie right there. They're talking about Shiva.
Shiva Lingams,
you know.
They're saying mantras.
Yeah.
They're giving praises to God.
They're doing offerings.
They got deities.
I didn't know none of that was going on. I thought dude was just trying to get this crystal head. You know?
Necromancy. It's jewel after jewel.
They're talking about Ra. Yeah.
They're talking about how light frequencies open up doorways. But, man, listen, Indiana Jones, if you go back and watch Indiana Jones,
mm-hmm.
man.
Deep. So I want to remind the fam, if you want to call in, you have any questions or you have any suggestions, or you just want to say what's up, our phone number is 619-924-0835. If you're already on the line, you can hit number 1 to come through, and that's what we'll do. We'll bring you through.
However, if you have a movie that you've seen and you just didn't get, I've seen everything. If you have a movie.
Everything.
Everything. Not everything. Everything. If you have a movie that you just didn't get or was kind of titillating to you, but you just want another perspective from it, hit one and I'll break that movie down on the air for you right now. Because that's just what I do.
A lot of people don't like to call in on movie night, though. They just like to listen. So.
That's cool.
And that's cool. Yeah. We take that, too.
Yeah.
So let's move on to, this is an oldie but goodie, Unbreakable.
Mm.
This is one of my all-time favorite movies. This movie is the definition of polarity.
Mm.
Here you have, when did Unbreakable come out?
The 90s?
It wasn't in the 90s.
Maybe
it was like early 2000s, I think. But here you have the story of this man, Bruce Willis, where, and I have to say it. I like Bruce Willis movies. I know a lot of people don't like Bruce Willis. I don't care.
I love Bruce Willis.
I think he's a good actor.
He's a great actor.
But anyway, only person I love probably more than him is Samuel Jackson. So put two of my favorite people in a movie together. It's going to be good. But anyway. Here you have this character, Bruce Willis, who is this, regular guy. He's married with a kid, goes to work every day, and he's happy. He loves his family and everything, but he just feels like something is missing in his life, but he doesn't know what it is. And one day he's on a train. The train has this catastrophic, huge crash where majority of the people died on the plane.
Everyone died except him.
It was everyone? Yeah.
Everyone died.
And he didn't have a scratch on him.
Yeah, he walked out the plane. Yeah.
And no one could figure out how this man survived this train, collision or crash or whatnot. And it was at this time that he started wondering what it was about him that was different. Now, at the same time, he met this other man, Samuel L. Jackson, who was, I believe he owned an art gallery or something like
comic
that.
Comic store.
Comic book store. And he always loved the comics because when he was a child, he had a disorder where he had very fragile bones.
Mm-hmm.
And they would call him Mr. Glass because any little trip and he would fall, he would break all his bones and he'd be in severe pain. And so he went to, somehow Samuel Jackson reached out to him, I believe, and he went to visit him, and Samuel Jackson started helping him to discover who he was. And it turned out that he was this man that, could withstand anything.
Indestructible.
Yeah. He couldn't be hurt. He started remembering how he was never sick.
Mm-hmm.
He never had any, issues with, broken bones or accidents or anything like that. He did have one memory of something that happened. I won't give that away, but it turned out that it was just something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave it at that. But soon he discovered that, a lot of people probably seen Unbreakable because it's been out for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But he discovered that the person that he thought was his friend that was helping him to find out who he was and helping him to become, somewhat of like this superhero was his own nemesis. And Samuel L. Jackson was pretty much reason for wanting to find out why everything was happening was because he knew that if there was someone like him with his extreme ability to be fragile, to get hurt, to, have all these accidents and everything, then there had to be someone on the opposite end with extreme abilities to not have those situations. And so once he found who Bruce Willis was and recognized what he could do and all this kind of stuff, he finally felt like his life had purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because he lived this whole life of a just traumatic incident after another, not really realizing why he was being punished this way. He felt like he was being punished or he was, why he had to live in suffering. And when he discovered Bruce Willis, it was like everything was answered and he had purpose.
A lot of humans experience life and challenges and hardships, and they have this feeling of, why am I? Mm-hmm. Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? And they live their life using why. But when you find out that you're a much more divine being than you really deemed you were, you started to think, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And when you ask yourself, who am I? You begin to think deeply about who you are and how you can overcome whatever it is. And that's what happened to Samuel Jackson. He developed his purpose, and he started smiling. He was excited. Even though he was still Mr. Glass, even though he always had bad luck, he knew that there was a purpose for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about most humans. We really don't realize our potential
mm-hmm.
because we're not taught who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're not taught who we are.
You know, and here you have Bruce Willis, this person who, on the other side of the spectrum, felt like he was missing something in his life. And when he started discovering who he was and what he could do, he also found a purpose. And he would go out, and he was going out to help people. He wanted to, you know, be like this modern day superhero. And, you know, he found himself having more joy. He was happy to spend time with his son. He was, you know, happy to help people in their struggles and everything like that. And it was just a wonderful movie of polarity.
Yeah.
We have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and bring our caller on the line. Caller from 780-482. Peace, you on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
So Jay comes from Canada.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, how's it going?
Whenever we hear your voice, Jay, we always feel good, bro. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm winning as usual, bro. Winning.
What's going on, Jay? What can we talk about?
You're talking about hidden gems and messages in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And just wondered, you're talking about four movies right now, or are you just talking about in general?
Right now, we're talking about four movies. We've talked about Upgrade, another movie called Tao, and then Unbreakable.
But we're open to whatever
you
like to
whatever.
Talk about, Jay. Yeah. Talk about it, bro.
You know, it's really interesting you say this movie. It's almost like the people who create the scripts for these movies, and I don't think there's a hidden agenda, but that's the way they get the message across is that if you're awake and aware of what's actually going on in the world and metaphysically, there are really quite a bit of hidden gems in those movies, but the one
mm-hmm.
before you're talking about or others. And I, you know, besides you know, the special effects that really, really kind of like distract you what actually is going on, it really tells that that there is a spiritual awakening in community and directors and people who are in Hollywood or people who make films are really trying to push it across people, but only for people to see that and actually have an experience with that is to actually you have to be awake.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it any other way or be in some more of a physical stuff. Because, you know, there's movies that I saw a long, long time ago. I didn't know they had a metaphysical message in them or a spiritual message
exactly.
in them. And that was really, really interesting, you know, until I started, you know, developing spiritually that I could see these in the movies and go, oh, that they're there, right? So it's like, oh, okay. So, yeah, and I think they're always coming out with that. Like I said, is that you got to really wonder who's behind all this stuff and, you know, you know, who the brilliant geniuses are creating these scripts that they're in that movie, in the movie script, or, you know, in the movies itself. Yeah.
You know, I believe that, well, I know that they are also spiritual awakened people. They are going... You know, and I'm sure Chris is probably going to tap into this more, but what they do is they meditate and they go into like another realm to get ideas of movies and how they want them to play out. Or, you know, they see things in a dream or in a vision or during a meditation, and then they just kind of build on it from there. So I think that you have to be a spiritual person in order to even put those kind of things in the movie. But the way that they do it in such a subtle way that, like you said, if you're not spiritually awakened, you're just, you know, blown away by the stunts and the action and the, you know, the effects and everything like that, and or the whodunit, you know, story that you don't really catch what was going on in the mind of the person who actually did it, or the star of the movie, or, you know, things of that nature.
You know, Jay, in my book, Poverty Consciousness and Wealth Consciousness, I talk about how there's one universal consciousness and how the human mind doesn't really think of anything. But depending upon how high you're vibrating and how spiritual you are, you can tap into the one single reservoir consciousness and bring out of that consciousness things into our reality. And I believe that's what these directors and people are doing. They're going into what's called the shadow realm and going to see how these movies are doing, and then they're bringing back into our reality these movies from these other dimensions. And a lot of these directors talk about this. They talk about how they take certain drugs to expand their level of awareness and their consciousness. And when they come off of them, they just write down. When you think about Star Wars, you think about how vast Star Wars is. People think it's just like seven series of movies, but it's a whole other thing. Star Wars is deep, and I don't believe the human mind can think of something that deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I was watching a movie, this series called Divergent, the Divergent series, and that was very spiritual too. I thought the first one was actually very, very spiritual, and I didn't know about that movie until you really watch what's going on, right? The illusions and.
And
that was really interesting at the end.
They talk about the houses, and a lot of people aren't aware that every human living are from a certain house. And depending on what house you're from, it depicts what type of life or what your soul urge or what you come here to do. And in Divergent, they went deep on that. They talked about how, man, Divergent was good. Divergent, Insurgent, all those are really good. Those are my type of movies.
Yeah. So my question is that both of you, is that how do you when you see what's going on in theaters or movie trailers, do you have this funny feeling that that you should go to that movie and watch it because there's a spiritual message in it, or you go look at it and, well, maybe there isn't, and I'll just take a chance and do it? Because I sometimes, as you get on the internet, I'll look for maybe for spiritual movies, you know, 2018 or something like that, and they'll maybe give me a list. But do you have any intuitive ways of selecting movies?
You know, me personally, like my daughter and my wife, they always ask me, Daddy, find a movie. And I just kind of like relax, and I turn on my Fire Stick, and I just start reading things. And when I get this feeling in my chest, like not a heart murmur, but like this weird feeling, I said, okay, this is a good one. And I just watch it, and it'd be good. But that's my tale. You have to devise or come up with your own tale. You know, as far as movies in the movie theaters, I rarely, if ever go to the movie theaters.
It has to be a really good movie to make. Like we went and saw Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
That was a great movie.
That was one where it was like you just knew that, you know, that's just one you had to see. And I wasn't going to wait for it. We had to go to the movie theater as soon as it came out. Still one of my all-time favorite movies.
Avatar.
That one was so deep.
Avatar was
another one.
Oh,
yeah, that
great.
One was really good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some movies that, you know, you see the preview for it, and, you know, when you're aware, you just catch it immediately. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to see that. That's good. But then there's those ones that, you know, sometimes you're not even really aware of. You're just like, you know, that looks like it might be good. I'll check it out. And then you end up finding something in it. And I don't think that it's really that, you know, you just got lucky or something like that. I think that you're drawn to the movie. There's something where your consciousness is drawing you to that movie, that, you know, spirit is guiding you to watch this movie, to get this jewel out of it, to get an understanding of how something works, or, you know, just to have something to expound on later with other people.
Have you seen A Wrinkle in Time?
No, I heard about that. I heard about that movie,
It's better than you think it would be. I just watched it about a month ago, What about Mr. Yeah. Nobody? Have you seen that one, Mr. Nobody?
No.
All right.
I don't go very few movies. I recognize some of the titles. So, yeah.
I assure you, Mr. Nobody will be one. Just from your presence, you would really dig that. It's about a guy who's able to live. Wow. He was able to, man, you know about string theory and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, he was able to go on multiple streams of existence simultaneously and live them out completely and be conscious of them all at the same time. Yeah.
That was a great movie. That had, what's his name? I can't think of his name right now.
Let's say me and you were in the first.
Jared Leto.
Let's say me and you were in the first grade and you went to another school and I went to another school. I would be able to go back with my 23-year-old mind, go back in the first grade and not go to the other school and spend my life with you and experience that entire life with you and remember everything while simultaneously remembering not being with you at the same time. And he was able to do this infinite times. So Mr. Nobody was one of the best movies I've seen that broke down string theory next to The One with Jet Li. It was a fighting movie. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about those back in June, right?
Yeah,
we
did
Mr.
Talk about
Nobody
those.
And The
yeah.
One. Yeah, those were both really good.
Yeah, I just looked at it on the internet right now. Yeah, something to look at. Something to look at.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's a multi-dimensional thing.
Yeah.
Multi-dimensional simultaneously at the same time, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, really good movie. Very deep. Very deep.
I just wondered, do both of you, are you both of you married or just a couple? I'm just was curious because as a family, do you discuss some of this stuff with your kids and what's going on? Or are they curious about it and they're going like, oh, and do the kids discuss it with other people or other kids in their own group or own setting? Because some things you can't talk about. Oh, I saw this in a movie and that movie, and it's like, oh, you're just making up that stuff for me. It's your imagination.
That's a good question. Me and my wife have been together for 24 and a half years. We met in high school. Thanks. We met when we were 15. Even though we didn't hook up until we were 18, I've always loved her since the first day I met her. And our daughter, we never forced anything on our daughter, but she's never heard us argue. She's never heard us cuss each other out. She's never seen us treat each other in a bad way in 24 years. So whenever we tell her something, she listens because she knows what truth feels like. So we taught her at an early age because she was going to preschool saying, hey, guys, there's no Santa Claus. And we were getting letters sent home. So we had to teach her early, like, okay, what we talk about in the house is real, but you got to experience life outside of this home, and you have to just go with the flow. So we teach her not to talk about things that her friends can't comprehend because they're going to only be able to understand things on their level of understanding. And it's real challenging for her. She feels alone a lot, but she has to navigate through life. So she dumbs down a lot of her talk just to be around normal humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're solar. We're all solar adept. So we've all been able to get the sun to respond to us and blink. And we all do a bunch of spiritual practices together.
Yeah.
We never forced it on her, but she's seen it work for us. And it's only natural when you see people you live around winning to join the winning team. So it is hard for even her boyfriend. She loves him. He loves her. But there's certain things that she has to keep secret because she would sound crazy because he just can't fathom the things that she's able to do, you know?
Yeah, we've never sheltered her from anything. We've always been really open about, you know, communication and things we do. And, you know, we probably should have sheltered her, you know, thinking back on some of the things that, you know, she did, like music and things like that. But, we've always believed in just, you know, being open with her. You know, we were young when we had her, and so we were all growing together and learning together. And so we've always been really open with her about certain things. But, yeah, when it came to spirituality, it was never anything that we forced on her. We never forced her to go to church, and we never forced her to do the things that we did. She did go to church, you know, a few times with some friends, and she came home and she was like, I don't get it. It's not for me. And, you know, when we started getting heavier into our spiritual practices, she noticed what we were doing. And, you know, when I would, you know, meditate at my altar or something, she would sit down next to me and say, can I do it with you? And I would say, sure. And then, you know, that led to her asking questions about, well, what is this? And who is this God? And what does this mean? And how do I do this with my mind? And, you know, and she started wanting to learn more things. And, you know, she plays this game with her friends where she'll, you know, drop a little question or something like that along with them. In the beginning, she used to try to just tell people stuff.
Yeah.
You know, even when she was a teenager, she would tell people things like, you know, why are you inviting suffering into your life?
Yeah.
You know,
well, 10-year-old talks like that.
Yeah, and they're like, what are you talking about, girl? But she does this thing where she'll just ask them a question just to see what their level of understanding is. And if they say something that, you know, doesn't really, is not on that level, she'll let it go. But if there's a little peak of interest, then she'll open up and she'll talk to people. And she has met a couple of people, but no one close to being on her level. So, yeah, it is a little lonely for her.
Yeah, I just noticed that because I have a friend whose kids want to get, well, they used to do card readings and stuff like that for the public, and now they just don't want to do it anymore. And I think that's one of the reasons why, because it's like you can't really talk to anybody about that because it's so, you have your field of awareness is a lot higher than most people's, that you can't really carry on conversations about that. And it becoming kind of like lonely for myself too. It's like, you know, I have very few friends where I can talk to about, you know, metaphysical stuff because it's so, I don't know, it's like they would ask more questions than having a really good conversation. You know, I would speak some terms, and it's like, what's that all about and this all about, right? And, you know, we can't really have a conversation with that. So I think when I do talk to people like yourself, I can say, oh, I can relate to what you're talking about in those movies and things like that. So I just find that it does take some, I don't know, really hunting down for people to talk to about this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe go to a movie and say, oh, yeah, I saw this and that. Okay.
You know, we have a huge spiritual family out there, Jay, and our spiritual master has a radio show every Tuesday that comes on at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And any question you have, he can answer it from a highly advanced, masterful, in a masterful way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be definitely more willing to share that information with you, Jay, if you want to just somehow send me your email address or something like that. Any way you can reach out to us, maybe on Facebook or something like that, where I can share this information with you. And I'll be even willing to share all his radio shows for the past 3 years. And a lot of your questions he'll answer indirectly through you listening to what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's amazing, bro.
Yeah, he's the most advanced being I've ever met.
Yeah, I'm like a raindrop of his consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. He comes to you in your dreams, so when you start listening to his shows, you have a dream about him like thousands of other people around the world. It's really intriguing. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, look forward to listening to the rest of the show because it's always, I don't know, intriguing when you pick up a little bits here and there. And yeah.
We appreciate you calling in, Jay. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Always winning with Jay. Winning.
Thank you. Thanks, Divine. Thanks, Chris. Thanks much.
Peace and love, bro.
Peace and love. Bye.
Always love Jay's energy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, you can hear the light within their voice.
Yeah.
This is such a pleasure to talk to that young man.
Such a pleasure.
Even if he's older than me. It's all good. It's just, he has his...
you call everyone a young man.
I do. You know, I believe that whatever age you are, there's always the consciousness of when you were young in your speak, in your voice.
That's true.
And some people who've gone through hard times, they forget the childlike person within them, and then they speak from the anger part of their soul.
Yeah.
But when people have a high vibratory consciousness, when people are really tapped into the frequency of joy and love, they keep that childlike vigor, and it comes out when they speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he has that.
Facts.
Facts. People say I have it.
I don't know about that.
I do.
I'm just playing with you.
I know you are.
So we have one more movie to cover. We're going to talk about Coco. Now, Coco is probably not a movie that most people would expect us to talk about because it's a cartoon. But fam, I'm here to tell you that the cartoons that are out these days, they're not like the cartoons we grew up on. They're not like Cinderella and Snow White.
Tom and Jerry.
Good cartoons, you know. Those also have, you know, some spikes of metaphysical, you know, enlightened ideas in them. But the cartoons of today are on another level. If you really want to get some insight on spirituality, you need to check out some of these cartoons. Coco is an amazing cartoon, great storyline. It's about a little boy who comes from a family that hate music. And the reason that they hate music is because his great-great-great-grandfather left his family, left his wife and his daughter to, you know, go out and make music for the world. He chose music over his family. The mother was scorned and she willed away all music. She didn't want music around her family. She didn't want to hear it. She looked at music as being a curse. And so generation after generation, this tradition passed down where the families shunned music. And the little boy, his name actually wasn't Coco, but the little boy, his name was Miguel. Miguel loved music, and he had to hide it from his family, and he had a natural talent for music. And he discovered during the Day of the Dead celebration, wait a minute, let me just say that again. This cartoon showed the Day of the Dead. This cartoon got me when they had the Day of the Dead celebration.
Break down what the Day of the Dead is. You want me to break it down? You got it?
You can break it down.
The Day of the Dead is the day that the dead can walk over a bridge from their reality to our reality and walk amongst the humans. And you can't see them, but they can see you. They can take offerings and bring them back to their world. They can see their loved ones real time. Things like that.
Well, to the living, the Day of the Dead was just a celebration of celebrating their ancestors. They would do things like have a big festival. They would give big offerings. They always gave offerings, but on the Day of the Dead, they gave huge offerings. They gave food. They burned money. They gave them items that they may have liked in their past lives, different vices, different items, things of that nature. And they just paid a huge respect to their ancestors and to all beings who are no longer here who had transitioned. But on the other side, with the people who had transitioned, the Day of the Dead for them was also a big celebration. It was a big celebration in the afterworld life, but it was also, like Chris said, a time where they could come over to the living and take the energy of that food, of that money, of those items that they love back home with them. They could spend time with their loved ones, even though the loved ones didn't know they were there. And so in this movie, the little boy Miguel somehow was able to cross over to the afterworld. And when he was there, he found his ancestors that he had seen that had been on his family's altar. You know, some of them he never met. But they knew immediately who he was.
Hey, Miguel. Yeah.
He was like, oh, my God. Great grandma so-and-so. Aunt Betty.
Yeah.
Aunt Lucy. Yeah. And he didn't know. He just knew that he'd seen their pictures on the altar. And he went to this world to find his great-great-grandfather so that he could get his blessing to take
music
up his passion, and take up his passion of music, since his family didn't want him doing it. And the ancestors who transitioned over, who didn't like music, still didn't like music, and they still didn't want him to do anything with it. And they wanted to send him back, but they were only going to send him back with the precursor that he couldn't do anything with music. And if he stayed in this world or the afterworld, he would eventually die. And so he refused to accept that, and he ran off and was looking for his grandfather. And along the way, he met a man, a transition, you know, spirit, who was there. And, well, first off, in the afterworld, it was beautiful. There were these big homes. They were, you know, these magical creatures that were like their spirit guides that could help them do different things. They had cars. They had nice clothes. They had music. It was just, it was everything. But he met this man. And he had on raggedy clothes. He looked kind of homely. He looked like a bum.
He was broke down.
Yeah. And this man said that he would help him, but he had to take his picture back to the living and put it on his altar for him. Because the reason why he was suffering in the afterworld was because his family had forgotten about him and they didn't put his picture on the altar. And since his picture wasn't on the altar, he wasn't getting the food offerings. He wasn't getting the money. He wasn't getting those spiritual items that he once loved. And so because of that, he was suffering in the afterworld.
Spiritual vagabond.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, there are two things about this movie that really touched me. It talked about the importance of altars, and it also talked about how the ancestors are always with us and always watching us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think you have to go to the graveyard to spend time with a transitioned person, and that's not the case. That's just where the physical body suit is at.
Mm-hmm.
Graveyards really aren't good places to be. Let me say that again. Graveyards aren't really good places to be. Okay? A great place to be is your altar at home. If you have your altar at home, again, this isn't spooky.
Mm-hmm.
This is just you showing love. You have all your transition ancestors on there. You eat. You give them a little bit of food at night. You pray to them. Hey, I wish you well. I hope you're doing well. I love you. I miss you. I give thanks for all the love and thing you did to me. All the good stuff, all the memories. You keep their soul alive. You keep it invigorated. And when you do that and you burn ancestral money to your ancestors, you create doors of opportunity for them on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. And when you do this enough, you begin to erase their financial negative karma, and in turn, you'll be blessed with wealth on this end.
Because they look out for you in return.
Exactly. That's what the ancestors are for. They can open up doors for you on this other side that you normally can't get to or with your human efforts create. So my thing about Coco was this. It talked about how important it is to love your ancestors. It talked about the importance of having altars. And more importantly, it talked about how you should always love yourself and your family more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there was a character within the movie who was this famous singer. And he was like the most popular singer in Mexico, and everyone loved him. He was like our Michael Jackson.
Pretty much.
And everyone gave offerings. He had transitioned over, and all of the living people gave offerings to this musician. They held celebrations for him. They had a statue erected of him in the state park, and he had his own big, huge mausoleum where his guitar hung up, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, in the afterworld, he had the largest home. He was still this big superstar in the afterlife, and he held these, you know, elaborate, elegant parties, and he was well loved, and he had concerts, and, you know, so all of these offerings and all of this love and recognition that he was receiving in the living was setting him up in the afterlife to continue living the same type of lifestyle.
So the moral of this story is, now that you're living, there's an aspect of you that is dead at the same time,
mm-hmm.
that is on the other side. So if you love yourself enough, create an altar for yourself. I'm on my altar. My wife is on her altar. I got my mom on my altar. I'm setting us all up for success on the other side because I'm aware of it. I'm giving money to my ancestors and my higher self that's over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm preparing a place for myself. That's exactly what the ancient Kemetians did.
Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of the ancient religions do and still did and still do. You know, you see over in different countries where they have these large statues of gods, and what they do is they bring offerings to them. If you go into their homes, they have altars set up with their ancestors, and they put offerings on there to them. If you go into a certain store,
any nail salon.
Yeah, you go into certain stores, you'll see a small altar set up, and they'll have food and water and some kind of, you know, different offerings set up to, you know, the altars there. So altars are very important to a lot of different, you know, ethnic groups. You know, it's not something that you see a lot here in the States, you know, in Northern America, unfortunately, but it is something that is pretty much everywhere else.
You know, we're not taught to win over here. That's why certain countries like China, people that really, really believe and practice altars are doing so well, because the collective consciousness in that area, everyone doing the same thing, is raising the vibration of their land. Now, if we in turn were to do the same thing, we would raise the vibration of our land over here. We're just not taught to do that. We're not taught that from an early age. It's spooky. We were told that all this practicing necromancy and things like that is negative and bad and demonic, when in fact all it is helping you out and your ancestors out.
I'll share with you my experience since I've had my altar up. I was just telling my mother about this the other day. When I first put my altar up, I only had my mother, my grandmother on there, my great-great-grandmother on there. And I started dreaming about her. She started coming to me in dreams. And every time I seen her, she always looked healthy. She always was happy. She was doing good. She was laughing. We would have great conversations. And over time, I started seeing other family members, people who weren't on my altar that I knew, you know, while they were alive. And when I would see them, they looked sick. They looked sad. They were laying down. They looked like they had been hospitalized. They just looked like life had left their body. And when I started adding their pictures to my altar, now when I see them in my dreams, it's like it's a party. Everyone is laughing. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's doing good. They're eating good. There's a whole bunch of food laid around. You know, they're cackling and just having a good time. And whenever I talk to them one-on-one, one of the first things that they always tell me is how good they feel, you know, and they thank me. They tell me to tell everyone else that they love them, and they hear their prayers and thank you. And I can tell that they're especially, you know, they're always excited to see me because I'm like their caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I make sure that they're doing, you know, that they have things in their other, you know, in that other realm. They have food, they have money, they have shelter, they have warmth, they have healing energy, they have all these things so that they can be, you know, they can feel alive in that setting. You know, it feels no different than how it was when they were here. Actually, it's even better because none of the pain and suffering is there. And so there's a big difference in what I would see before I put them on my altar or when I first put them on my altar versus how it is now that they've been on my altar for years.
One of the biggest things that will happen to you once you set up your altar is you become the ambassador of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And when you become the ambassador of your family, you're the main person in your bloodline that's probably living, that's taking care of everyone on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine if you were the only one doing that. You think your ancestors are going to help make sure you don't win?
Yeah, they want you to keep winning so that you can keep taking care of them.
I was able to quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still doing good, winning. Mm-hmm. Because they know I'm going to take care of them, and in turn, they're going to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing, when I have my consultations with people, I give people a spiritual challenge. I ask them, put your altar up. Keep it up, go to it for 60 days, and you see how you feel and how your life changes. Once you get a taste of success and winning, there's no way you're going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you're going to go back. But nothing I tell you, nothing I say, nothing you read about me It's going to give you that feeling until you become a doer. Until you do it yourself, you'll never know.
Right. So, yes, Coco, great movie. Don't get discouraged because it's a cartoon. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, now we've pretty much discussed all the movies that we wanted to share with you, but we have our Twin Flame movie pick of the month. So this movie, fam, I gotta take a deep breath on this one. This movie is called Astral City. A-S-T-R-A-L City. And we discovered this movie through our spiritual master, Dr. Mitchell Gibson. We heard him mention this movie a couple times when we were listening to his radio show, the Mitch and Kathy show, which comes on Tuesdays, 6 o'clock Eastern time on KCAA. Check it out. Great show. But he mentioned this movie a couple times, and he said that this movie was the best movie that he ever seen depict what it's like after you transition over. Mm-hmm. And so I remember we were trying to find it. We could not find this movie. We were looking everywhere. We could not find it. And we heard him mention it again. We were listening to an old broadcast.
This was like a year later.
Yeah, definitely a year later. And we heard him mention it again, and we found it. We found it on YouTube. On YouTube, it may be under Astral City, but you may also be able to find it under Our Home.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's a white man in a bed laying. It looks like he's sick.
A Brazilian man.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a white guy.
It's a Brazilian. He's
a Brazilian, yeah. But you don't want to look for a Brazilian in the bed. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. Still a nice guy.
This movie is everything. It's basically it started out as a book, like most movies do, but it was a book that was written by a psychic medium named Chico. Oh,
wasn't Chico Bean?
No, I should have had his name
it's
pulled
all
up, but it was a movie written by a famous psychic medium over in Brazil. And it was pretty much his interpretation of what he saw whenever he went over to visit this other existence in this other realm, the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do not have it. I must have deleted it.
It's all good.
But anyway, so they did this movie based off of his book, and it follows the story of this doctor, Dr. André Luiz.
Yeah.
André Luiz, that's how he would say his name. And he was this general practitioner, and he spent most of his time in life, you know, just working hard. He was really nasty towards certain people. He was rude. He didn't really spend a lot of time with his family. Loved his family, but he just didn't really spend a lot of time with them. He was all about, you know, making money and fulfilling his dreams and, you know, all the material things in the world. And he had 3 children and a wife. And he ended up falling ill. He had developed a sickness. They never really said what the sickness was, but he ended up falling really ill. And he died. And when he died, he went to this world, this realm. And it was like a purgatory type state. It was very dark. There was no sunlight. It was filthy. There were like other people there who were crazy. They were distraught. They were, you know.
It was a place where low vibratory beings reside.
Yeah, it was like a hell-like place.
Muddy water.
Yeah, no water, no food. He was always hungry and thirsty. And whenever he would, you know, he would find like some dirty, filthy, muddy water for him to drink, and he would try to drink it. You know, a group of people would come around and they would scream at him, "Suicide, suicide, get away from here, you suicide." And he didn't understand because he didn't commit suicide. And so he was also an atheist. He didn't believe in God. And one day when he just couldn't take it anymore, he cried out and he started praying. And he prayed and prayed and prayed. He didn't even know how long he was praying. But suddenly these angels appeared. These, you know, angel-like beings appeared. And they comforted him and told him they heard his prayers and they were going to take him to the other side. And they took him to this other realm where it was the complete opposite of where he was at. It was an afterlife community.
It was like Hawaii. Beautiful.
It was beautiful. It was magical.
Everything you need for free.
Everything.
For free.
And he was still not very appreciative in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they also told him, like, you know, for someone who committed suicide, and he was like, I didn't commit suicide. Why are you saying this? And they said that he did commit an unconscious suicide because of his evil ways, because of his nasty attitude, him being mean, him being negative, him only respecting material things and money and not people, that he had unconsciously committed suicide on himself. And the disease, the illness that he had was a direct effect of his negative attitude, his negative ways, his negative energy. And when he heard that, something clicked and he started to really, like, try to figure out what was going on. And he kept wanting to go back and see his family and talk to his family and everything. And you have to be there for so long before you can communicate with your loved ones. And they had, like, this big computer-like library area where you can go in and you speak with the people who said prayers for you.
Mm.
And it turned out that no one in his family had been praying for him.
Mm.
So he couldn't speak with them. And the people that were praying for him were people that he had either forgotten about or people he treated like crap.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman that was one of his patients that he hated seeing this woman. He would try to get out of seeing her. He treated her very badly. But she looked at him as, you know, being this respectful man. She thought he was a good man because he would always see her even though she didn't have money and he took care of her. And she didn't even realize that he was being nasty to her. And she was the main person always praying for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw that, it touched him so much and he started to change. And you've seen him evolve in this film. And he became this enlightened being in
mm-hmm.
this different world. I'm going to kind of leave it at that. The rest of it you have to watch for yourself, but it was such an amazing movie.
One of the things that I really loved about the movie was the spiritual suicide,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people aren't aware of this, but most of the disease and ailments that you have in this reality happens on another dimension first,
mm-hmm.
but your low vibratory negative mindset, poverty conscious stricken mentality extracts the illness from these other dimensions and they manifest into your reality, no matter what it is.
And some of these illnesses are actually entities.
They are entities.
And they're entities that are always around us. We always have things around us. We have a billion angels around us. We also have a lot of negative entities around us. And when we leave an opening for them to come in and cause dis-ease to our
mm-hmm.
lives, then that's another way that they get in and, you know, we end up destructing ourselves.
That's why it's so important to smile more. Smile more. Do more light.
Mm-hmm.
Think light. Be light. Treat other people well. Because you just never know who's praying for you. You never know who's watching you. And you set yourself up for success when you know your divine nature. We aren't taught this in this reality, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I want everyone listening now and in the future to look at themselves in the mirror for about 10 minutes a night before they go to bed and just tell yourself, I love myself. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to yourself. Give thanks to yourself. Start with yourself. And when you start to love yourself like that, you'll be able to love other people who are really you, other aspects of yourself,
mm-hmm.
the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And once you realize that everyone you come in contact with, from dogs to humans, they're nothing more than a different aspect of that same energy reserve that you come from.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll be able to start taking strides to enlightenment. It's just that simple. Winning.
So yes, that was another great movie. We shared some great movies tonight. I hope that you will all check out these different movies and give you a rundown of them again. We got Astro City, which is a Brazilian film you can find on YouTube, either under the name of Astro City or Our Home.
Mm-hmm.
And that one deals with the afterlife. They also touched on reincarnation and the spirits and your divine purpose.
Power of prayer.
Yes, the power of prayer, enlightenment, all of that great stuff. You have the cartoon movie Coco, which is a great movie. If you have kids, watch it with them. If you don't have kids, watch it by yourself. Great movie that teaches you about altars and your ancestors, again, with the afterlife, spirits, and, you know, the importance of prayer, again, and offerings, and remembering your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
We had Unbreakable. Another oldie but goodie movie with Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis. A great movie on polarity. Understanding what your purpose is, understanding what your life purpose is, and, you know, realizing that your gifts aren't always your downfalls.
And no matter how bleak you think your life is, you have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You come here for something. The key is to focus more on what you love to do, not what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
We spend too much of our life going to a place called a job, during the work week, to do something we don't like to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're exhausted, and when we get home, we try to find time to do what we love to do. And over time, when you don't do enough of what you love to do, you forget what it is that you love to do. That's...
All right. And the next movie we had was Tao. Tao was another unspoken, unheard of movie that I don't even know how we found Tao. We just came across it. It happens. But it was a movie that based off of an unconsciousness within a house, within a machine, discovering its consciousness through the help of a young lady that helped it to identify that there were things going on outside of what it thought is what the world was all about, what its existence was all about.
You know, I found Tao because of the imagery. It was a red triangle,
mm-hmm.
and it was a woman walking through the door of the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be having dreams sometimes about going into pyramids, and it resembled that.
Hmm.
Sometimes when you see a movie picture, it'll unlock certain things within you. You're like, wait, something about this movie I just got to see.
Yeah. You know, that's another great thing about the movie industry. They have a lot of great symbols and these, you know, things that just kind of catch your attention. And you'll catch these little things and you're like, oh, I know, that's, look at that eye horse.
That looks familiar.
Look at that pyramid or, mm-hmm. you know, look at that. What's up with that skeleton key? What's that about? You know, just whatever. And it kind of, you know, it's real subtle, but it catches your attention if you're aware. And then the last movie that we touched on today was Upgrade.
Mm.
And Upgrade is more along Chris's line because there was a lot of fighting in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But again, another movie where a machine develops consciousness and has a host and ends up wanting to take over the host's body and complete its consciousness and live its own existence.
Spiritual attachments.
Mm-hmm.
The power of the divine mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though the being what's within them, it was still a part of his consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like on Doctor Strange, how he was able to work magic in order to heal himself.
Mm-hmm.
So even though, because it was like a spiritual placebo, we really don't know how the thing Stem did what he did. We just knew that he did it because dude believed that he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of jewels in that movie.
That's deep.
Very deep.
So, yeah, fam, you want to check them out. If you have any questions about the movies after you've watched them, feel free to hit us up on Facebook on our Twin Flame Radio page. You can also email us, twinflameradio@gmail.com, or iamdivinequeen@gmail.com, or
vchrisenlighten@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And we will do another movie night in October.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably do some scary movies.
We do something scary every.
You know, I love when October comes around because that's
my
when
birthday
like,
month.
No, that's when like all the witchiness comes out. So I can't wait to like get into all that kind of stuff. Speaking of, tonight is the full moon for the harvest moon.
Yes.
Which is a very important full moon. We got some things that we're going to be doing tonight, some rituals that we have to get in. Yes. Some prosperity stuff. You know, we got to get this money.
Facts.
But yeah. Next week, not sure what we're going to talk about, but it will be on Twin Flame Radio's page on Facebook. You can also find information about Twin Flame Radio on my Instagram page. I am Divine Queen. I am Divine_Queen. And if you would like to speak with either Chris or myself, you can find us on Facebook, through Messenger, Instagram. We're out there. You can also go to our websites, IamDivineQueen.com and
TheEnlightenedJourney.com,
where we both do consultations. We do readings, numerology, tarot, intuitive readings. I have a reading that I offer called the Divine Gateway Session, where I identify the blocks that you're having and can help you through overcoming those obstacles, and also identifying different deities that you can work with to pull certain aspects of yourself into this reality, or things that you need into this reality. Chris has a YouTube page.
Check me out, VTHEE Enlightened Journey on YouTube. It's the hottest page going right now for real.
Facts.
All day, winning all day. Again, I can also be reached on my website, The Enlightened Journey, if you need help finding work. I do the divine spiritual resumes. I have 100% success rate in getting people jobs. What I do is give you a cover letter. I reconstruct your resume, and then I encode your resume with three divine prayers: the miracle prayer, the prayer of greater miracles, the Asnisa Vajjayadharani, and the Ganesha mantra. And that's the remover of obstacles. Also, go out to Amazon.com. Check out my three books: The Enlightened Talk. That book is guaranteed to titillate your frontal lobe. Poverty Consciousness breaks down how most people have poverty consciousness. And then I followed that one up with the best-selling book, Wealth Consciousness. It's a book that guarantees to help you win. And in both of my books, Poverty Consciousness and Wealth Consciousness, I give you call to actions that will help you either strip poverty consciousness out of your mind state, or with Wealth Consciousness, I got some rituals in there that will help you align your consciousness up with other wealthy people. Guaranteed to help you win.
Nice. Well, fam, we are going to call it a night. We will be back next Monday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Same station, same time, same too hot host.
Ooh.
Well, Phil, we are out. My name is Divine Queen.
And I'm Chris Enlightened.
And we are peacing you out with peace, love, light, and joy.
Peace.
Blessings.